98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
This is the greatest show.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show
really
that's ever existed.
It really, really
in
is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. The shenanigans start early on a Wednesday. They come often, and they're going to begin today with something that just ran across my proverbial desk. A picture in the story of a sheep, Vinny, that was found wandering wild in an Australian forest. Okay?
Okay.
Thing had 78 pounds worth of wool on its body.
Sounds like my wife when we go up north.
It's your spirit animal, Carlin. I tweeted out the picture of it as soon as it was sent to me. It's you. It's you.
Yeah, I would say Jared's probably got about 78 pounds of wool on
his
head.
He's got a lot. He really does.
Have you really? Oh, my goodness.
See?
Gracious.
Could you imagine having 78 pounds of wool? How good that must have felt to finally have been shorn? Look at that thing.
Get a haircut, Jarrett GC, you freak. Have you really even taken the time? I mean, we get caught up on the hair.
Uh-huh.
Have you taken the time to look at the sideburns of Jarrett Carlin?
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
I think that's the most ridiculous part of the whole thing.
It's a semi-recent development within the last month or so, maybe. I just really wanted to top off the
Your
old
Your wife
look.
Really cannot be embracing
she
this.
She doesn't care that much, really.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she's not physically attracted to me. Short hair, long hair, doesn't matter.
Man. That is the craziest looking sheep I've ever seen. Man.
Isn't it crazy?
Bet you weren't expecting to say that phrase today.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Listen. So they just found this sheep wandering in a wild, obviously, in an Australian forest, and the thing hasn't had a haircut probably in, I don't know, a decade?
Apparently the sheep's been very concerned about COVID. It's not wearing a mask, however.
It is just, it's unbelievable.
All I know is I hope that's not real fur. Because the people will be all, PETA people will be all over.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got shenanigans today, and we have also got a scandal, folks.
Scandal?
I don't know. It's a lot of people are upset, right?
Furious, I've heard.
Furious. Devin Booker snubbed. Start the show, Carlin. You freak.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Get him out coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
And we start the Splash for Wednesday, February 24th. If Devin Booker is going to make a second consecutive NBA All-Star Game appearance, it'll have to be as an injury replacement again. Suns guard not included on the All-Star reserve list as voted on by NBA coaches released yesterday. However, his teammate Chris Paul was. Paul will be making his 11th All-Star appearance in the game March 7th. Joining Paul as part of the Western Conference reserve pool are Anthony Davis, who is not likely to play. Paul George, he might tap out. You never know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Zion Williamson, Rudy Gobert, Damian Lillard, and Donovan Mitchell. In the East, it was James Harden, Jaylen Brown, Zach LaVine, Julius Randle, Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, and Nikola Vucevic. But congratulations to Chris Paul. Well-deserved.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of reaction, local, national, maybe even interplanetary, about Devin Booker not making
the
All-Star team.
The fact that LeBron James chimed in and called Devin Booker the most disrespected player in the game takes this story to a different level. And we're going to hang out in that level today.
Yes, we are. The snubbed Booker and the Suns are home tonight, taking on the Charlotte Hornets at Phoenix Suns Arena. Suns on fire, 20-10, winners of 12 of their last 14 games, while Charlotte comes in 14-16. Game two of a six-game Western trip for them. That started with a blowout loss to Utah on Monday night. Tip-off is at 7. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So I know the feeling is, and I'm sure we'll get into this, we won't find out about an injury replacement for a while. What does Devin Booker do in reaction to the snub?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I think this is, I hate to wish for this outcome because, you know, I want Devin Booker to be happy. And there are some heavy questions that I think are lurking in the background of this story. That does Zion Williamson get a spot on the team because he's marketable? Because he's Zion, and where does that leave a guy like Devin Booker in Phoenix, Arizona? I think that's a big, heavy question. But to me, I don't know. We have to remember Devin Booker at the end. I think he makes this game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And so I think before he gets there, I think he's going to be real cool about this. I think we already know what he thinks about this.
Oh, yeah. We went through it last year. We had some reaction last year.
I think Monty Williams saw this coming, which is why he reacted the way he did after the last game.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Suns also made a roster move yesterday, waiving center Damian Jones. He had appeared in only 14 games off the Suns bench. He signed a two-year non-guaranteed deal last offseason, and his contract was set to become fully guaranteed on Thursday. So, business move, but it frees up a roster spot. Tiger Woods awake, responsive, and recovering in his hospital room early this morning after undergoing surgery for what was called significant orthopedic injuries to his lower right leg sustained in a single car crash in Los Angeles on Tuesday. Non-life-threatening injuries, but in a statement posted to Woods' Twitter account, the chief medical officer and interim CEO at Harbor UCLA Medical Center said Woods had a rod inserted into his tibia to stabilize comminuted, I have trouble with that word, open fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula. Screws and pins were inserted to stabilize additional injuries. But the good news is Tiger Woods is, he's...
Yeah, thank goodness
on the road
for
to recovery.
This. Yeah, listen, Tiger Woods, it's far too early to say whether or not Tiger Woods is done as a golfer. Ben Hogan recovered from a terrible automobile accident. So will Tiger Woods ever catch Jack Nicklaus? Doesn't seem like we should be talking about that today. The coverage of this story was in and of itself out of control yesterday. Absolutely out of control.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get into that as well. Also, Coyotes back on the ice tonight looking for a second straight win over the Anaheim Ducks after their come-from-behind 4-3 victory Monday night. Puck drops at 7. You can see all the action on Fox Sports Arizona Plus. And ASU got 26 points from Remy Martin, 22 from Kamani Lawrence. They routed Washington last night, 97-64 at Desert Financial Arena. Devils were down to 7 scholarship players, but breezed past UW to push their record to 8-11, 5-8 in conference play. Same two teams will play tomorrow night in Tempe.
There you go.
So a nice win for the Sun Devils.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we got a lot to react to today. All-star reserve selections announced. No Devin Booker for the second straight year. We'll touch on all of it next. Bickley Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Marotta.
I personally... Devin Booker, to me, I think if you talk about the top backcourt guards, which is why Dame Lillard has not gotten as much love in the West, because there's always been guys like Steph Curry, there's always been guys like CP3 that have taken that shine. And to me, I don't think CP3 was the best two guards in the NBA this year. I gave the nod to Devin Booker with CP3 filling in for Anthony Davis because he's injured. So I think both will be at the All-Star game. But to me, to have Devin Booker out, I pick Devin instead of CP3.
That's Candace Parker on TNT last night after the All-Star reserves were announced and the list did not include Devin Booker. Again, congratulations to Chris Paul, who... we were talking to Al McCoy yesterday, Bick, and I made the point, I don't think things could not be going much better for Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns in year one of his stay in town.
Yes.
And for him to be rewarded with the All-Star nod is very much deserving. He's been that influential. There are a lot of people that are really mad that Devin Booker didn't make it.
Yeah, really. Locally and nationally.
The big one, you mentioned it, LeBron James tweeted out, Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in our league. Simple as that. That can have many different meanings.
Oh, you're not
kidding.
This
was in the All-Star meaning, of course, but we see it in terms of officiating, and Devin Booker has risen to a star level in this league, doesn't get the officiating. But Jarrett made a point on our company chat last night when this news came out, and he said, LeBron James tweeting that is almost better than making the game originally because it puts more eyes on you as a player.
Well, it did. That is a good point. And I do think that in a lot of ways, being a martyr is better than being an all-star, especially since Devin Booker might end up in this game anyway and probably will. The idea now, though, that LeBron James has stamped you as such, I think, will certainly inspire, motivate, pacify. It'll make Devin Booker feel good, but it might not make him feel good about his situation in Phoenix, Arizona. And this is nothing to worry about in the short term, but this can be perceived as an indictment of playing for the Phoenix Suns. Because if you're saying Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in the league, how do you think Devin Booker is going to hear that? If there's a why attached to the most disrespected player, what is the why?
That he continues to elevate his game. And, I mean, this is...
That's the what. Why is he being disrespected?
I don't think it's a personal vendetta against Devin Booker. I think it's due to... We talked about this yesterday. I don't think either one of us expected the Suns to land two All-Stars, did we?
I didn't.
I thought Chris Paul would get the nod over Devin Booker. I can't say I'm shocked by this, but
no,
there's not a glaring name that's an All-Star starter or reserve that you look and say, well, that's a joke.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Chris Paul might be the most replaceable player if you want Devin Booker to have that spot.
That's true. There's focus on Zion Williamson, who's having, as you said, a great season offensively, but he's playing relentless basketball. He deserves to be an All-Star. I've been watching Zion.
But yeah, the team stinks. And
right,
for years,
the team does stink.
When the Bradley Beals and Devin Bookers of the world didn't make the team, they said it because your team's not winning.
But again, I don't think this snub is a snub. I don't think it elevates to the anger that's out there about it, which is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out accordingly, because Zion is having a really good year, and yet, like you said, this is not the same kind of team here. Well, so then if you're Devin Booker, is that what you're looking at? Is that what LeBron James is looking at? Is LeBron James kind of telling Devin Booker, you need to play in L.A., man?
Look,
I don't know. This is where this whole thing gets tricky.
I'm hoping by the time Devin Booker is done in Phoenix, LeBron will be long out of the league.
It's not just LeBron.
It's all over the league, and I think it is just players standing up for what they believe to be right. They know how good Devin Booker is. LeBron James, Draymond Green, Book not an All-Star, the foolery, stop it. C.J. McCollum, damn, Devin Booker didn't make it, that's crazy. Sick World, Ricky Rubio, you're telling me D-Book ain't an All-Star? Reggie Miller, Jamal Crawford, Yusuf Nurkic, all of these guys recognize what a star Devin Booker is. But you talked about the anger. Kendrick Perkins, former NBA player, now an analyst with ESPN, was on with Doug and Wolf this morning. This is the word he used.
I am furious. And right now, if you're a Phoenix Suns fan, or if you're a Devin Booker fan, you should be livid. Devin Booker is playing some of the best basketball of his career right now. Under control, shooting 50% from the field, averaging almost 25 points a game, and he's doing it in the system. He's not forcing anything. And here it is. This is the second year in a row, in my opinion, that he has been snubbed.
Taylor Rooks, also an NBA analyst, tweeted out, Y'all told Devin Booker all he had to do was win SMH. There's a lot of validity in that particular tweet.
That line of thinking to me is going to resonate with Devin Booker, and I think he will have something of a vendetta for these coaches that did this to him. So I think in that regard, we're going to benefit from that.
Yeah. Kendrick Perkins talked about that very subject as well with Doug and Wolf.
This is the problem that I have with the All-Star vote, is that the goalposts get moved every single year, especially when it comes down to the reserves, because the coaches vote the reserves in. And one minute we're hearing, oh, the problem is that Devin Booker they weren't winning. That's why we didn't vote him in. So right now the Phoenix Suns are a top five team in the Western Conference, and he still don't get voted in.
It's a great point.
It really is.
It's a very valid point. That adds to the frustration for a lot of Suns fans, and I'm sure some frustration for Devin Booker internally. My problem with, and I'm not even going to sit here and say Zion Williamson doesn't deserve to be an All-Star. He's been fantastic this year. But to Kendrick Perkins' point about the goalpost moving, he's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because you saw two guys, one of them eventually got in Devin Booker as an injury replacement. But we saw it even 2 years ago with Devin Booker putting up ridiculous numbers. Well, the team's not winning. You got to wait your turn. Mm-hmm. Bradley Beal last year didn't get in. He averaged 30 points a game. His team still stinks. He's leading the league in scoring. So apparently he waited long enough. Now he's in the game. Why doesn't Zion have to wait? And this was not a Zion Williamson campaign because he's so popular and force-fed down the throats of NBA fans by the two networks that carry the games. This was by the coaches
who voted him in. But he wasn't voted in by the fans, and you could say, like, okay.
But the coaches also know what's what, and they know that things like All-Star game ratings matter. And I'm sure they're told by a general manager who might be told by somebody in the league office, hey, you know, we really should have Zion in that game. But again, I don't think it's a huge snub. But it is. That's the thing. If you drill down to this and you sat LeBron James and said, listen, LeBron, tell us exactly where you think this disrespect is coming from and what is it all about? What is it about Devin Booker's game that allows him to be disrespected? Because that's LeBron James's word, and that's the best player in the game, and the biggest mouthpiece in the game, and the face of the players. So, I mean, and a guy who's really tight with Chris Paul. I agree with all of this stuff, and all of this stuff is going to play a role going forward. Like Vinny, I'm not surprised. We've talked about this for days, and I really believed it was going to be one. I believe Chris Paul was marginally more deserving, but I hope Devin Booker was the guy who was going to get it. And the worst-case scenario happened. Chris Paul got in, Devin Booker got aced out, and now he's got to deal with the internal disappointment that he's feeling now. Because that's if he thought he had arrived, I think Devin Booker is... I think he's a stoic. I think he's a badass. I think he'll be fine with this. I don't think this is going to destroy him, but I do think it's going to motivate him. I don't think there's any doubt about
Chris
that.
Chris Paul himself, after the announcements came out, was on TNT, and he talked about how conflicted he is with this.
Man, first and foremost, it's an honor and a privilege to be an All-Star. That's something that never take for granted. A lot of hard work, you know, my teammates, my coaching staff, but probably the most bittersweet of them all, because Book is an All-Star. You know, it's not taken away from any of the guys that was named All-Star, but our team, the Phoenix Suns, we go as Book goes, and he knows that, and we know that. So
that's a pretty strong statement. Mm-hmm. As a team, we go as Book goes.
Do you think that's true, actually, though?
I mean, if Devin Booker is not having a great season, do I think the Suns are 20-10? Absolutely not. I agree. Chris Paul, it's hard. He's the maestro of all of it, but Devin Booker is equally as important to what they're doing.
He's the lead violin.
There you go. We'll have a lot of reaction to the All-Star voting and the snub of Devin Booker. We'll also have a reaction to Chris Paul making it. Jeff Van Gundy's going to join us at 11 o'clock to talk All-Star and NBA with us. Coming up next, Tiger Woods all over the TV again yesterday. Thankfully, he's okay after surgery. But the coverage, was that okay? We'll get into it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Earlier, it was stated that the jaws of life was utilized to extricate the person trapped. It was later determined by our personnel that a Halligan tube, which is used for prying, and an axe was also used to pry the person free from the vehicle.
That is the voice of Darrell Osby, L.A. County Fire Chief, correcting something that was reported by the L.A. Sheriff's Department, County Sheriff's Department, mm-hmm. yesterday in their statement, which I think when this first happened yesterday during our show, Bick, the use of the phrase jaws of life in that statement,
mm-hmm.
that's a scary phrase. That's a big thing to get wrong in all of this. And it came from the law enforcement office itself. That was strange.
Well, I mean, at some point in time, we're just being, you're talking about semantics. Jaws of mm-hmm. life horrifies people. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is what happened yesterday, because after we got done with radio, after the news had broken, I went back and I surfed all the so-called news channels. And what I saw was staggering. The wall-to-wall coverage of a car accident. Now, we talked earlier, and Jared pretty much nailed why that is. Number one, you had horrifying images of a rolled-over, destroyed car in a California suburb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, you had one of the world's famous celebrities, Tiger Woods, a guy who's had a downfall. The roads this guy has traveled, up the mountain, down the mountain, back up the mountain, it's an incredible narrative. It when you talk about story arcs and those kind of things, this one has it all. I mean, everything, right?
Uh-huh.
And so there was a lot of this stuff was positively breathless yesterday.
The other thing was that the information about exactly what happened was kind of slow to trickle out.
Right.
So people were covering it initially like,
is he alive? Yes.
What do we hear? His condition would be from moderate to critical. That's about
as wide a range as you're going to get.
It's a wide range.
You're going to get. Then there was the fact that Tiger Woods' camp has long been notorious for protecting information and misdirection and all that kind of stuff. So you threw it all together and it led to a lot of speculation. There was even one guy on Fox News that I was skimming through, I saw this morning, lost his mind with his bosses.
Greg Gutfeld?
Yeah.
I saw that clip.
Yeah.
Too.
And on CNN, like I said, they wouldn't get off this. They were interviewing their medical expert who doesn't know anything about sports, about Tiger Woods. And at that point in time, I thought, this is just ridiculous. It got to a level of absurdity where they were just selling the titillation of these awful images of this car wreck and the name Tiger Woods.
Yeah. I mean, there's many people that have just turned on the media. They're absolutely disgusted by the media. I'm not one of those people. I think the media serves a very, very important role mm-hmm. in American society. But I'm not going to sit here and say that they don't recognize what titillates the audience.
Oh, without a doubt.
And they will play it to the hilt. And the Gutfeld reaction kind of summed up what a lot of people think. And he ended his rant. We started it by cutting off Geraldo Rivera, saying he's not dead. We're talking about him like he's passed away. And then he ended his rant by saying his father-in-law died in a traffic accident on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talked about that.
Right.
And now that's the way it is.
Uh-huh.
Tiger Woods, and one of my takeaways from watching the HBO documentary and a reason why we saw what we saw yesterday in terms of coverage, in my opinion, I don't think there's ever been a more scrutinized athlete ever.
I don't think so.
And a lot of it self-inflicted, a lot of it inflicted by his father, and a lot of it brought on by his level of greatness.
Yeah. But this is where people who follow golf, okay, there were a lot of things that came down before the car crash where people were speculating whether or not Tiger Woods was wasted. This was long before this accident, okay? Mm-hmm. This was in the last couple of days. He took a photo with David Spade. Golf people, the golf community, oh, look at that. Look at that. Then an interview with Jim Nantz. I even said, watching it live, he looked like he was hungover. Now, that has nothing at all to do with the car crash, but it led down an avenue of speculation that was not only justified by that, but by the fact that Tiger Woods has had these issues in the past, and he just had back surgery. And anybody who has ever been addicted to painkillers will tell you it is a monster. Ask Rex Chapman about it. So there was the fear that, oh, no, this, let's hope Tiger. I've read the details of what happened, and it sounds like Tiger was really late and driving really fast.
Mm-hmm.
There's some reporting that he tried to leave a hotel, and a car was blocking his way, and they were loading luggage into that car. And witnesses say, told TMZ, that Tiger was getting visibly agitated. And when his lane was finally open, he sped out of there like a bat out of hell and almost hit another guy coming into the hotel. And that incident was so shocking to the guy he almost hit that he told his staff about it. And they told that to TMZ. Mm-hmm. He was running, if he was going to see Drew Brees and Justin Herbert, he was running about a half an hour late, maybe more. And I think he was driving like a maniac. And he got into an area he didn't know, and he went around a curve at probably a really high speed, and good night.
Well, and an area, too, that law enforcement said is notorious for those kind of accidents.
It even has a runway mm-hmm. for runaway vehicles. Mm-hmm. In case you are driving a big vehicle and you go to brake and your brakes fail, they've got a runaway lane for you. That's where Tiger Woods flipped his vehicle. So under that light, it's like, okay, maybe this was nothing more than, and I don't mean to marginalize it, than a guy just really late driving ridiculously reckless.
Yeah. Which endangers people, certainly.
Whoa, and that's the thing, too. The fact that it was a one-car rollover, there's some personal culpability there.
It's going to turn out that he's probably the very lucky.
Extremely lucky that he didn't hit anyone else, person or property.
Or killed himself.
Yeah.
Now it's focused on recovery, and that's the news today that he's on the road to recovery, still hospitalized after surgeries yesterday. Jay Williams of ESPN, he had his basketball career ended by a horrific motorcycle accident right as he was getting started in the NBA. And I thought this was interesting. He took the time to reflect on it and like the road ahead for Tiger Woods.
Well, when he made mention of an fasciotomy, I mean, that's one of the most gruesome things I've ever experienced in my life. Literally, you have an open wound and they're trying to, it's like an air vacuum where they sift it together. And that takes weeks to sift back together. It's one of the most painful things, Zubin, that I've ever had in my life. I passed out multiple times during those vacuum treatments. The nerve damage is something that is challenging because you're trying to get feeling back in that leg, and that could hinder you from different reaction, like quick twitch fibers that activate your leg and muscles around your leg. And then the compensation part, the only reason I asked this is because when I had these issues with my left leg, when I was trying to do rehab and come out of it, you naturally start to put more weight and start to do more things with your opposite leg. So as I was doing this for years, I eventually dislocated my right ankle because my right leg gave out because I was compensating so much throughout the course of time, right? And how do you find that equilibrium again?
That is rough. Mm-hmm. But to go through that, and that's, you know, the next steps, and people wondering, obviously way off into the future, if Tiger Woods will play golf again. There's a headline in the New York Post. A column was written that let's just hope he can walk again. I know there's, again, wide range of speculation on all of this, but judging from the severity of the injuries, and when you hear Jay Williams describe that, I think golf is probably doubtful at this point.
I think Tiger Woods is the kind of guy, he's the rare kind of guy who can grind through rehab. And golf is the kind of sport that he could come back 3-4 years from now, but it's going to be years.
It feels like he's been rehabbing for a decade, though, all different injuries.
And this is the issue with Tiger Woods. He's had at least 5 knee surgeries. I know he's had 5 back surgeries. He wasn't even done rehabbing his back when he now has this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The mental exhaustion of that, you would have to be superhuman to do this again, but that would appeal to Tiger. That very element of it would appeal to him. And so I'm not counting him out from coming back and playing golf again. Somebody put on Twitter, this is a good reminder to everybody, that if you'd have said to somebody this time last year that within the span of a year, Kobe Bryant and his young daughter would die in a helicopter crash and Tiger Woods may never play golf again because of a car accident, it's a good reminder to count your blessings and treat each day accordingly.
Yeah, well said. One of the heartwarming stories of the NFL season. Turns out it almost didn't happen. We'll give you the details. More NFL hash marks next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta, hash marks.
When the NFL honors were announced the night before the Super Bowl, I think the biggest foregone conclusion was probably who was going to win Comeback Player of the Year. Turned out Alex Smith of the Washington football team won it after overcoming a gruesome leg injury and like 18 surgeries, came back and actually played pretty well for Washington this year. The only intrigue there was that somebody voted for Ben Roethlisberger and not Alex Smith, but whatever.
Yeah.
We talked during the football season, Bick, about how through all of their dysfunction, decades-long dysfunction, all of their scandal, there were two big stories that actually gave you reason to root for Washington. One was the Ron Rivera coaching through cancer, beating cancer during the course of the season. Great
right.
story
mm-hmm.
for a guy who's really respected in the league. The other one was the Alex Smith story. And anybody who watched the ESPN feature on Alex Smith, you know, that was one of the most gruesome injuries we've seen in sports. To come back and play. Almost didn't happen. Alex Smith did a long interview with GQ magazine and said that he got the feeling Washington didn't want him back. The quote was, "When I decided to come back, I definitely threw a wrench in the team's plan. They didn't see it. It didn't want me there. Didn't want me to be a part of it. Didn't want me to be on the team, the roster. Didn't want to give me a chance. Mind you, it was a whole new regime. They came in. I'm like the leftovers, and I'm hurt, and I'm this liability. Heck no, they didn't want me there."
That is a big reveal, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He said, he went on to say, "I mean, they tried to put me on physically and unable to perform for 2 weeks. Then they tried to IR me. I felt like I still hadn't had my fair shake at that point. I wanted to see if I could play quarterback and play football, and I feel like I hadn't been given that opportunity yet to find that out. It's like getting this close to the end of a marathon,
yeah.
and they're telling you that you can't finish the race."
It is, this to me was yet another reminder of how cruel the NFL can be mm-hmm. on players who are not actively helping a team, and especially if they don't have you in your future plan. So we were all looking at the attempted comeback from Alex Smith late, and there were some people who were kind of a little bit weirded out by it. Like, should he really be doing this? Should he be risking this to play football? This is pretty clear that Alex Smith wasn't feeling the Washington football team as much as the rest of us were feeling the story. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say.
I mean, what a terrible feeling that must be. You're going through this personal struggle, and they'd been there for you.
Yeah, I know.
You get the feeling, you know, they don't want me to come back.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't think he'd ever play football again, so I was, obviously, I found it very, very heartwarming. But the other story with the Washington football team is they announced yesterday that there will not be a team name this year either. They were forced to, or they finally came to the conclusion to change their team nickname after corporate pressure before last season. They're going to go two full football seasons without a team name or real identity.
They're going to go longer than that.
You think so?
I think this is permanent. That's my prediction.
Well, they're teasing the nickname for 2022 and, wow. and a rebrand for 2022.
If they're good again, though, because they made the playoffs for the first time in forever. If they're good again this year.
They weren't good.
No, that's true. That's a fair comeback. But if they're not awful, and if they have a chance at the playoffs again, I don't know, why not just stick with it? It seems like people enjoyed the Washington football team gimmick.
I mean, I know some did. I just think a brand and identity is so important in sports.
Yeah.
For a team, for a fan base to rally around.
Completely agree.
I think it's, you know, I know you want to get it right, and you want to make sure everything is aligned when you roll out the new identity, mm-hmm. and you don't want to rush it, but it should be able to be done in two years.
Again, if you could just call it Washington Team Football, then you've got the perfect logo. Then you don't need a team name.
Somebody might be offended by that, though.
Yeah, they might. You're right. That's a good point. But it would certainly apply with Daniel Snyder's organization, wouldn't it?
Yeah. As you were telling me in show prep about another thing that happened with them.
Yeah, apparently there was a mass firing of some cheerleaders, and they did it on a Zoom call, and they muted all the people who were getting fired so they couldn't hear the groans and the screaming, and the person who did the firing did it without video. So it was just a blank screen telling a bunch of people they were fired via Zoom. Muted. Wow.
Thanks for your service.
Man.
Any questions? No?
Yeah,
okay.
No, okay, great. Let's
great
wrap
day.
This up.
Yeah. That's the
great
Washington
meeting,
that's the Washington football team for you.
The yeah, listen, it almost stuns me what happens to some organizations when they have to make mass firings. I heard a story of the old newspaper I used to work for that when a big round of layoffs came, they had everybody go to their desk, and if your phone rang, you were going to be called to come and give your playbook. Could you imagine anything more inhumane than sitting with a bunch of people in a newsroom, freaking out every time a phone rang, looking at your own phone, wondering if it's going to ring? Who thought that was a good idea?
Yeah, that sounds horrible. I ran across this list too. Again, it's just one list, one outlet, as we're getting closer to free agency, and there is speculation on some Cardinals. But USA Today, Doug Farrar and Mark Schofield of Touchdown Wire put out their list of the top 101 NFL free agents for 2021. The name that stood out and the number next to that name that really stood out was Patrick Peterson, number 81, Bic. 81!
Mm-hmm. Does that, what do you think of that?
I mean, it just seems weird. You see Patrick Peterson over the course of a decade in any sort of player rankings, you're never getting a number that low. Unless it's, you know, he's been that low a couple times, I guess, in the top 100 players in the league. These
right.
are just free agents.
Right.
That talks about a serious drop off.
That, and I think that is why the Cardinals think they can get him on a steal, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a hard thing for Patrick Peterson. I don't think he is, you know, I'm sure his agent's giving him a heads up, but I think that's the reality of it all.
Yeah.
There's not going to be, I don't know what that market's going to look like, period. Even in a, you know, in a best case scenario, Patrick Peterson's ranking as a quarterback has plummeted. Now he's got to try to get money when the league is coming out of this. I don't know. Good luck with that.
The write-up says, remember the early to mid-2010s when we could argue whether Richard Sherman, Darrell Revis, or Patrick Peterson was the NFL's best cornerback from year to year? Great corners do not generally have long shelf lives. At age 30, Peterson isn't going to make a ton of plays anymore by matching the league's best receivers through every nuance of their routes, but he does still bring value as a guy who knows how to read quarterbacks, has an excellent sense of where the ball is going, and then gets there to create incompletions and interceptions. That kind of sounds like the job description of a safety.
It does. That's you brought that up before. That's
yeah.
That's very possible. But I do think that when that happens, I think if you play out all the scenarios in your head, that if the Cardinals are only going to offer market value and the market value isn't that good to begin with, Patrick Peterson will take a one-year deal and go play for Todd Bowles or somewhere else. He'll go to Kansas City. He'll go to Tampa. He'll play the 1 year there and then try to get his money after that is the way I think this thing plays out. I think the Cardinals are right in not giving him money, but I think that when this all washes over Patrick, he's going to go take a one-year deal somewhere else.
We'll see. This kind of reminds me of Darrell Revis. The last like few years of his career, it felt like he kept going from one team to another on 1 or 2 year deals because he wasn't that great, but he was good enough to like still have the name value.
Mm-hmm.
I may, and this is my opinion, I may be wrong on it, but from my vantage point, Patrick Peterson's drop off was nothing compared to Darrell Revis's drop off. At the height of his career, Darrell Revis was impenetrable. And then it happened pretty quickly where the scenario Jarrett pointed out where he was hopping from team to team every year. I don't think the drop-off has been as drastic for Patrick Peterson, certainly noticeable.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely.
Coming up next, we'll talk NBA All-Stars. The ones that are included and the ones that were snubbed will be joined by Jeff Van Gundy next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.